Blog Talk Radio.
Radio. I'm your host, James Easton, and my co-host, John Doerr, is with us. How are you doing, John?
Okay, James. How are you?
Pretty good.
Good.
I made a show last night by myself. I don't know what it was called, but I was unloading little things about 9/11 that most people don't know about, and, you know, some urban legend stuff. Did you hear it?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay. Damn you. Well, anyway.
I was preoccupied.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I was working to lose my Brooklyn accent.
Oh, really? Damn. Don't do that. That's fucking crazy shit. Don't talk crazy.
I would never do that.
No, good. I think it can be charming, but
yes,
it's definitely interesting to listen to.
Absolutely.
So, one example was the story about the kids in the school next to the towers that said to their teacher, teacher, the towers won't be there in a couple of days. They'll be gone.
Right.
And the teacher was like, now,
actually a Muslim kid said that.
Really? You know more about that?
Middle Eastern kid, yeah. I don't know what country he was from or anything, but I know he was of Middle Eastern origin. Stood up in the middle of his class and reiterated that and said that everybody in the class was all fools. And
really?
Something
like that.
That's
really wild. That's a gem for the show.
I could add a couple if you want.
Go for it.
that morning of 9/11, prior to the planes hitting, below Canal Street, which is roughly about maybe 10, 15 blocks north of the World Trade Center site.
Yeah.
in other words, in Manhattan, a majority of the yellow taxi cabs are driven by Middle Eastern people.
Yeah.
And there wasn't a cab to be found below Canal Street that morning.
Okay. What else you got?
There was actually a fireman who was interviewed who was in the firehouse that was across the street from the Twin Towers. And he claims that there was a fruit guy that sold fruit and, you know, like bagels and coffee out of a little, you know, push cart
on the sidewalk.
And his name was Marty Hadi. And he said, you know, Marty Hadi was there, rain, snow, sleet, you know, every day for years and years. And he came to work that morning before the first plane hit, the fireman. And he said it was kind of strange because Marty Hadi wasn't there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I want to tell people that something that they probably don't know. And like, just know everything that you said, most people probably don't know.
A lot of people here in New York City know those stories, though.
So. Okay. there were bombs that went off in the basement prior to the so-called plane hits.
Right.
And this is most well known from Willie Rodriguez, the last man out of the buildings.
Right.
the guy who basically was the janitor for, he was in Tower One at the time at his desk.
Right.
He said a bomb went off in the basement.
Yeah.
And then,
he was down in the
basement
when it happened.
Yeah, sub-level one. And
yeah.
I have a diagram of that floor.
Right.
Blueprint or whatever. You can get those. All the blueprints are available. If you go to Architects and Engineers, and there's a link to another site that has them all. It's kind of interesting. I mean, when I was building the towers, I made use of those. But anyway, yeah, so this is the same thing that happened in Tower 2. Just before the plane hit, a bomb blew up in the basement. Now, why did they do that?
I'd love to speculate on that.
Yeah, go for it. Let's hear what you got to say.
To take out main supports, main support beams, columns.
Right.
And or other infrastructure, machinery. Willie Rodriguez reported that the machine shop kind of was totally destroyed. There was nothing left after the bomb went off.
Oh, yeah?
And, yeah. So,
what was the machine shop?
Like supporting machinery, elevator motors, things like that, you know.
Okay.
But probably was adjacent to support beams also, would be my guess. To, you know.
Well, let me jump in. This is something that I sort of speculated on myself, and that it's simply this, that they staggered through all the events, the actual column cutting.
Right.
So it wasn't all done at once. And
right.
This initial blast in the basement, not only did it disable all the elevators from, so first stage, second stage, and express.
Right.
So nobody could take a fucking elevator. There was only one that worked. And honestly,
right.
I think they had that planned, too. That's another
mm-hmm.
thing. I don't know if I'm going to go into the firemen in this episode, but I will eventually.
Right.
There's nobody could take the frickin' elevators. The ambulance, the police, the fire, they couldn't. They had to walk up the fucking stairs. I mean,
right.
That's a 100-story building. So it deliberately hampered the efforts and of saving anybody or discovering.
And
bombs were not only going off in the basement and at the top, but throughout the building.
Right.
And there are eyewitness reports saying they were going down the stairs and, you know, bombs are going off all over the fucking place. And
right.
There's recorded video of a guy in the lobby saying he was blown across the lobby. This is
right.
after.
Right.
He was a fireman. Another fireman in I'm not sure which tower it was recorded
mm-hmm.
saying, you better get out of here because I'm pretty sure a bomb's going to explode.
Right.
And then, of course, you've got, there's two dudes that were caught up in Tower 1 when Tower 2 came down.
Mm-hmm.
And they ended up on some street and they were being interviewed by like a slew of reporters. And
yeah.
they said, so like, what happened? Or what was it like? What kind of fucking
right.
question is that? You know, like, it was pretty cool. I enjoyed it. You know, like, whatever.
It was like a Disney ride, right?
These fucking media assholes. Like, I have to say that about these two guys, they told the truth about what happened. But there was
right.
this other asshole sitting right next to them that didn't have any dust on him at all. And
right.
he started talking about the planes. So,
yeah.
A plant. He's a plant. They set
right.
all this shit up. They say, okay, media crew line up here, ask these questions,
mm-hmm.
and make sure to get this guy's commentary. And
right.
that's what we're going to put on the news.
Absolutely.
Because the media is totally complicit.
Right.
So bombs blow up in the basement. They're blowing up throughout the entire building. And
mm-hmm.
How do you think the tops came off?
Tops of the buildings?
Yeah. Because you see, Tower 2 falls to the east, the top 30-floor section falls to the east. and the top 10 floor section of Tower 1 falls to the south. You can actually, if you look at video, you can see the mass of Tower 1 sort of like keeling over and falling down to the south. So it was.
You mean Tower 2, the south tower? The first tower that fell was basically tilted at like a 45 degree angle.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And
it just it twisted and buckled at the corners, and then it sank down and sank into the building, and then while that's happening, there's all this like debris and exploded
smoke
and shit. I would call it dust, but
dust clouds. Yeah.
Yeah. But in this process.
Okay.
In this process, the east facade of the top 34 section comes out of the dust, and you can see it clearly, and it's like, oh, my God, you know, like, holy fuck. And people in the adjacent buildings are like, like scared that the shit might fall on them or something. But
right. Well, that's what should have happened to that whole 30-floor section of building.
Right.
Should have encountered the rest of the structurally sound building below it, and it should have stopped it and made it keel over into the street, fall away from, it shouldn't have went. Because in other words, once you saw that 45 degree angle of the 30 section building, that's 30 floors of building. That's like a 30 story building keeling over at a 45 degree angle.
Yeah.
And if the laws of physics did apply that day, it would have encountered, the structurally sound beams in the rest of the building beneath it, and that would have stopped it and sent it careening into the street, without doubt. But that didn't happen.
When, in fact, all those beams were being systematically
blown out of its way as it came down.
Exactly.
Right.
Exterior and interior columns and all the trusses were just being destroyed one by one, floor by floor. Floor by floor.
Right.
But
and it was stated by demolition experts that they didn't even have to do every floor. They could have done like every 2-3 floors even was enough.
Well, and
to,
that's possible.
That in other words, they didn't have to do all 110 stories, with explosives to make that happen. It could have been, basically roughly about half the building or, a little over half of the building.
Let's
remember
that.
2-3 floors with enough powerful explosives to take out, those 2-3 floors placed in one
As
floor.
As a matter of fact, at the base of the incident point in footage taken from the east inside a building with a bunch of people there, and they're all like, holy fuck, they're freaking out.
Yeah.
They're watching the top come down, and just as it starts to come down, you can see a barrage of, like, flashing lights. It's obviously detonations. And then from a northeast view of the tower with the sun shining on the side, you can see that the tower's falling, and then the subsequent floors below are blowing out, but they missed two floors. They missed two floors. So there's like a row that blows out, then there's two missed floors, and then there's rows that blow out sequentially below. So it's like maybe they couldn't get onto those floors, or maybe they, whatever fucking reason.
Or the wires failed, or, the detonators failed on those.
Something like that. In the end, it doesn't matter because, the whole thing is pulverized into dust. But I wanted to say that one of the reasons why they blew the shit out of those buildings is to be consistent with the fact that they wanted to destroy all the materials in the buildings. Hard drives, all paper, everything. Fucking
And also, if I can interject, not too many people know about the bathtub. The slurry wall, the foundation.
Oh, yeah.
If that entire 500,000, each building contained 500,000 tons of structural steel, equaling both buildings, equaling 1 million tons of structural steel, if that would have hit the ground, all that weight at one, you know, in those collapses, it would have ruptured the foundation slurry wall, which would have
let the water in.
In other words, the Hudson River would have flooded all
flooded
of Lower
New York.
Manhattan. Right.
Yeah.
Well, all of Lower Manhattan and all the tunnels in Lower Manhattan, subway path to Jersey, the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel is there that goes to Brooklyn. It would have flooded everything.
Well, the rich Jews couldn't have that. I mean, they need to make money.
Right, because that would have cost, that would have ensued and, you know, and it would have undermined all the buildings in Lower Manhattan, all their structural integrity. And
right.
cause, you know, subsequent more collapses of buildings because their foundations would have failed too. Because
okay.
all those buildings are secured to bedrock underneath, down,
right.
you know, underneath the ground. That's
yeah,
the only thing that's
down.
Holding them. So if water was, you know, in other words, flooded through all of those buildings, you know, there would have been billions and billions of dollars in damage.
Right.
And
that's,
probably Lower
that,
Manhattan
you know,
wouldn't even be accessible till today, probably, from all that damage if the Hudson River flooded. So, you know, that's a huge thing right there. That
mm-hmm.
all that steel didn't come down and rupture that, you know. In other words, the bathtub foundation was 70 feet down underneath the ground.
Right.
Seven stories into the basements.
Right.
And protected that whole site. They had to literally make that bathtub to keep out the Hudson River before they could even start building those buildings. And all the dirt that came out of there made the financial center across the West Side Highway. It actually made, I think it's like 7 or 8 new city blocks that were donated to Manhattan, to the city
yeah.
of New York.
From digging
all the dirt.
Those holes from the towers.
Right.
That's really interesting. There's a video called Building the World Trade Center. It's in 9/11,
yeah.
The Biggest Lie. Just a part of it. I edited it,
yeah.
Just the crucial shit to tell the story. But
right.
the bathtub stuff is all in there. And,
yeah.
And
that's
really
very
worth
crucial.
Listening to you. And
yeah.
what you just told me now is very interesting. It's like extremely
yeah.
interesting.
Because
I didn't
those
know
buildings
that, so.
Falling with all that tonnage should have ruptured, you know, the foundations. Without doubt.
But instead,
it
they were blown up into dust, so nothing
when
really
they cleaned
just blew away.
And to look at the pictures afterwards, after they cleaned everything out, the foundation was basically pristine. There was no damage to it whatsoever, which is, again, you know,
yeah.
goes against the laws of physics in this universe, pretty much.
Well, I mean, all you have to do is look at the aftermath right after. The core
yeah.
columns are gone, except for
right.
the there's maybe 3 or 4 floors of above in Tower 1.
Yeah.
But there's about 10 stories of exterior columns
mm-hmm.
on 2 sides of Tower 2 and 1 side of Tower 1. So, like,
right.
you could see the base of the building. You
right.
could see the entrance to the building. It was like...
yeah.
the bottom floor.
And there was no core
like,
column. And there was no core column.
They
yeah, should
have
like,
been standing.
They
go?
Should have been still standing. Even according
yeah.
to the government's story, which was pancake. In other words, the cement floors around those core columns should have, you know, collapsed, and those core columns should have just stayed erect, standing, you know, at least 5,
there's
6
just a minor glitch with their story.
Yeah, minor, my ass.
Exactly. There's a PBS documentary which explained the Trade Center collapse in 2002.
Yeah, yeah via
it shows
convenient
the pancake
animation.
Effect. Yeah.
It's convenient
it's like
animation.
Animation.
They show you a cartoon.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And basically, they leave the fucking core standing there. So, like, but no one's like, what happened to the core, you know? Like,
right.
And
well, if you see,
in my opinion,
the North Tower, you see it, actually, the core is still standing for a period, and then it like vaporizes into dust and collapses.
Well,
on its own.
See, there was that dust had sticky qualities, and
right.
if you look
but
at
what I'm saying
cameras,
is the core columns themselves collapse, and they shouldn't have. They should have stayed standing.
They were wavering. They were like,
right.
and then they fall away.
Yeah.
And,
right.
You know, that means
that
there's more explosions in that space. Now, there's a video that came out not too long ago. It was like no one had seen this video, and it shows the tower collapses. Not all of it, but it shows, you know, you get a different angle of the what Judy Wood calls the spire, which I call the remaining core that was standing in Tower 1.
That's what they were.
You only see
columns.
Part of it, and then the billowing smoke goes over top of it. But there's a point of interest to note here is that the sewer grates next to the Trade Center blow up smoke before the shit from the top hits the ground. All right. So it was like shooting up smoke out of the sewer system, and that's an indication of like a bomb exploding in the basement. And the color of the smoke was like white and yellow, and it was not the same as the smoke of the blowing up floor. So, I put that in Biggest Lie 5, and I did a short little documentary or whatever the fuck on it. But it's really important shit. I mean, people watch the 9/11, The Biggest Lie, and like they figure they know everything after that. But it's damn it, I learned so much over time, and so many people helped me and taught me, and
there were so many aspects to it.
I want to make a killer movie that you know tells everything. You know, like fucking here you go.
And then you have to also get into the gigantic circular hole in Building 6.
Yeah, that's some strange fucking shit.
That the firefighters were fighting before either tower collapsed. And so how did that happen?
Well,
you know, how did the gigantic, which the, in other words, the, that was a top, in other words, the vaults were down underneath Building 6 that were looted the night before.
Okay.
Okay. So that's why
I know
that building
of some other vaults,
the gold
some
was taken out of
were...
Building 4 was the Commodities Exchange building. I actually worked there for a year as a runner. If you ever watched the movie Trading Places, that was in Building 4.
Okay.
And but Building 6 was heavy federal investigations unit.
There's also it's on the tip of my tongue. I can see it. It was a place that dealt with laundered money.
In other words, gigantic robberies like corporate espionage and robberies and stuff like that. And all the evidence was down in those vaults underneath Building 6.
Right. And
so that's, I mean, if you see aerial photos of Building 6, there's literally it's a circular hole through the middle of the building.
Not only that, it's like you look inside, you stand from inside and you look at the walls and at the gutted inside, and it's straight up and down. It couldn't have been an explosion because there's no debris. Like there's debris, but there's not enough to account for all of that missing six floors of building.
Right.
And, you know,
that was definitely
in
blown
that
up
scenario,
prior.
Well, the main thing is that this shit happened before
any of the collapses
came down.
Right.
Yeah. And
it's actually documented that the firemen were fighting whatever it was, blast fires or whatever in Building 6 prior to Building 2 collapsing, the South Tower collapsing. So it couldn't, because what they claim is it's the debris from the collapse that caused the giant round hole in Building 6, but that's not true. Because the firemen were already fighting that prior to the building, towers collapsing.
There's proof of this. There's a picture of the building, there's fire and smoke coming out of the Building 6. Someone's standing on, I don't know if that's Liberty Street or I can't remember which, but the point being that there's photographic evidence of this happening. prior to the demolition of Tower 1 and 2.
Right.
And this isn't even mentioned in the NIST report.
Oh, well, yeah, it's redacted because it's incriminating.
So,
that's why.
this is fun stuff. What else can we think of?
That video of that that I sent you of that guy from New Jersey, that videotaped the entire thing, basically. Yeah.
Okay.
That video is very telling.
He did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
He did a really good job. He did the physics stuff, and he did he put that in so people could. That was early on. I watched that
understand.
A couple years ago.
But the real important thing is, besides, you can hear bombs going off. You literally can hear them across the Hudson River going off before the towers fall. And you can also see white smoke coming up from the base of the buildings.
Right.
Prior to their collapse. So that's pointing towards, something happening in the basements. Definite evidence, of a lot of activity, because huge clouds of white smoke are coming up. You could see it in between the buildings in front of the World Trade Center. In other words, it's coming up out of the lobby, out of the building itself, on the ground level.
I thought I saw a picture of some people coming out of the towers. One of the first few people coming out, and there was white smoke around them, and they're inside the Trade Center. So, I saw it. I didn't save it. I wish to God I had saved it, because that's super awesome, evidence. But
it just points to I'm just saying the fires and stuff were up, 800 feet in the air, 80 floors up.
Right.
How could smoke and stuff become, that much noticeable smoke from New Jersey be coming up out of the basements of the building?
They just
impossible.
Gloss it over. Right? They're like,
right.
They gloss
over a lot of things.
Yeah.
Now,
you see, what you're talking about with this Hoboken thing is I have this theory. I call it the trust pull. And what it means is they broke the base columns of the building.
Mm-hmm.
They dropped the whole core drops by about one length of column, so three floors. It probably doesn't go
about
all at
feet.
Once. Probably staggers through the entire building.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that when Tower 1's coming down, when it drops, just before it drops, you can see the mast sink into the building. And it's
the mast falls first because the hat trust went. The hat truss is over the capping over the top, the roof capping over the beams.
Right.
The structural support for the mast itself. The TV tower, the antenna, the mast, whatever you want to call it, starts falling first before anything else, which points to the core columns underneath being compromised before the building actually starts falling. It's only about a second, but it's enough to show
it's
that
it's hardly
the core
noticeable, but if you play
first.
It over and over,
right?
And if you slow it down, you can see the mast go, just a little bit. And so I believe they pulled the base of the building, they pulled the entire core of the building down by a little bit, which puts strain on every single truss in the building, and then by blowing the trusses, the release of strain or the release of tension causes the exterior walls to go outward.
Right.
And you can see in many photos, entire 40 floor sections, from corner to corner, of these, this matrix of steel that's welded and bolted together. It's just peeling off the building. It's like a fucking banana.
Exactly.
And
that's impossible, unless it's being blown off. Because and what people don't understand too was there were deep girders belted around all of that, all around the outer walls, holding the exterior walls to the trusses themselves.
Right.
And that was all bolted and welded.
Yeah.
So,
totally.
You know, you have to understand that when you're watching those towers fall, there's thousands and thousands of connections breaking simultaneously, and that's totally impossible.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous
from a structural standpoint. It's totally impossible. It's physically impossible.
Well, and 10 seconds. I mean, right there. It's like, hello. It's gone in 10 seconds.
When I heard this little tidbit, this little factoid, to put it in perspective, try to clap your hands 11 times in 1 second, because that's the rate of collapse, 11 floors per second.
Yeah.
That'll make you stop and think for a second. Try to clap your hands 11 times in 1 second.
I'm not going to try.
You can't. Trust me, I've tried a couple of times. You can't do it.
Oh, yeah. So anyway,
that's an 11-story building per second. Think about that. And go watch, you know, I defy anybody to go watch any other, you know, building being brought down in any fashion to see, you know, 11 stories going down in 1 second. They can't even do it. That hasn't even been done with regular demolition. So with some really, you know, good fireworks going off that day, to say the least.
Well, I've heard eyewitnesses say it sounded like the 4th of July.
Right.
And, you know, and I have yet to hear the exact sounds.
Right. That's
I thought I had access to it, but.
Yeah. If I could say one thing. In all the videos, there are multiple versions of the same videos with different soundtracks in them for that reason, to throw everybody
over.
Right. So there you go.
Well, the visual evidence, the visual evidence is enough to tell. And what else can we think of? Well, I can tell you this. The offices that were blown up in Tower 2, the main offices where Marsha McLennan, where L. Paul Bremer worked.
Right.
He's the, I don't know, he's senior staff. I don't know if he's the CEO, but he didn't go to work. Now, I've heard people
and
say,
and he
well,
was immediately on television.
Right.
That morning.
He went straight to the MSNBC station amid all this chaos. He got there and was on the news, sitting there, all fresh and clean,
within
to
a half
tell
hour.
The entire world
that
it was Osama bin Laden.
Right. And the war on terrorism. The entire story was told within a half hour of the planes hitting, even before the towers collapsed. The entire story was, you know, verbatim told to the world.
Tell us about the New York police chief that was with Giuliani.
I
know he's a criminal. He's been in jail. But
he's
also
corrupt
with
as sin, man. Yeah,
pardon?
That guy is totally corrupt as sin. I forget his name. The guy with the mustache. And he was basically, if you watch the videos of Giuliani that day, he is basically, in other words, like a tour guide of Giuliani. He's you know, pulling Giuliani away from the media, not allowing him to talk to him. He's pointing him where to go, you know.
Answering questions for him.
Right, exactly. He was the first one, not even the mayor or the governor of the state of New York or New York City, were the first to claim that there weren't explosives. It was him, the police chief.
That there were not explosives.
Right, exactly.
Right.
He was the one that answered the question. Not Giuliani and not the Governor Pataki, which is strange. Because they have more, you know, authority, quote unquote, than he does. But he was, they both, you could see it in the press conference. Giuliani actually literally turns to him and steps out of the way so he can go up to the mic and answer the question, the police chief. So.
Right. So he went on to work with Paul Bremer in Iraq.
Right.
As, you know, murderer of people. I say that
right.
without
they,
hesitation.
They were there to train the Iraqi police forces and all of that. And basically their actions in Iraq assured the failure of the government and all of that, which then allowed Al-Qaeda and stuff to infiltrate the country.
Right.
And turn the entire thing into a gigantic fiasco.
Yeah.
That's still going on to this day.
Jesus.
How
and,
convenient.
You know, it's super, on one side, you know, and like say my dad's watching the tube and this is, it is a colossal failure. On the other side, it's a super success for the bad guys and
right,
everybody
exactly.
involved in this. That's exactly what they wanted. They got what they
right.
wanted.
Exactly.
So
a colossal failure for us
about,
and our soldiers that are dying there. And, you know, a pay, gigantic payday, 14-year, going on 14-year payday for them. It's funny
yeah.
how it always works out for them. It's always in their favor. Never the people.
I had a career soldier say, how dare you call me not a patriot? And
uh-huh.
I was like, well, see, I can't argue with a man who is just following orders for, he's like a minion in an army of madness. And,
right.
You know, he doesn't know better. In fact,
right.
he doesn't even know what a patriot really is. To
right.
say that he's a patriot.
He's actually helping the terrorists, and he doesn't even know
yeah.
it.
It's most of the military's brainwashed. To the max,
oh, yeah.
and
of course,
and the police and the. But let's try to stick to the towers. Is there anything else
right.
you think of that hasn't been aired out? I mean, I've seen video of flashes of light going off inside Building 7.
Right,
and they're blowing up the insides of it, like prepping it for the final destruction.
Right.
Same with, you know, the white smoke in that Hoboken video. There's camera shake. I mean, there was a
yeah.
massive fucking detonation in the basement of the tower, each tower,
right.
just
right.
before they came down. It fucking shook the city.
Yeah. Right.
So what were you going to say?
I forgot what I was going to say. Actually,
oh, okay.
it slipped my mind. I'll think of it as we go.
The tops of the towers were locked, and
right.
I don't know if you know this, but I'm pretty sure the top sky lobby and the observation and the top floor or the top of Tower 2 was open at like
right.
8 in the morning.
Uh-huh.
Because people were visiting the towers that early, and
yeah.
why that, you know, people that go there would want to go to the top.
Right.
But the doors were locked. And
yeah.
Not to mention the fact that they would probably systematically have people land helicopters. So there
right.
should have been some kind of like operational reasoning to have open doors.
Right.
However,
actually,
the doors were locked.
They actually did rescue people during the 93 bombing off the roof with helicopters.
Really?
Off the South Tower. Yes. That's a fact.
I saw a video with one of these chopper pilots, and he said, oh, the jet fuel was too hot. We couldn't land. It would
right.
melt the helicopter.
Yeah, likely story.
They were lied to. And the
right.
police were telling nobody to land on the roofs.
Right.
I think one person tried, or one helicopter tried.
Yeah.
And you should listen to the dialogue between some of these helicopter pilots. Like, one person is, like, really saddened at the fact that the tower collapsed, and the other one's like, yeah, whatever.
yeah.
It's really yeah. that callous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they knew. And
right.
So for the fact that there's probably, you know, 100 helicopters in New York, if not more.
Right.
They could have saved a bunch of people. They didn't save
mm-hmm.
anybody.
Right.
So this is like
More convenient.
And then there's the idea, people are like, wouldn't it be cool to have a parachute if you're up there, you know, like,
yeah.
I would certainly try it.
Yeah.
I would rather, you know, jump to safety than to my death, but, what else? So did you ever make it up to the top of the Tower 2?
Yes, I did. Yes, prior. I was never actually on the roof itself because of the weather conditions that day. They weren't allowing people on the roof, but I was on, I think it was the 98th floor.
Mm-hmm.
Is you know, an inside observation where you could, you know, it's like they called it the sky lobby, like, and it was incredible to be up there. I mean, you know, I've also been on the top of the Empire State Building.
Yeah.
Which is just a little bit shorter. You know, it's about 1,000 and change. But mm-hmm. the towers were 1,360. The South Tower was 1,362 at the roof.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it was pretty high. But
yeah.
even, you know, the 98th floor, you know, you got to realize it's, you know, 20 feet under 1,000 feet. You know, it's 980 feet up. It's a spectacular. It was a spectacular view. You know, you could see all. You could literally see on a clear day. You could see parts of Pennsylvania. You know, you could see that far because it was so high up.
Mm-hmm.
And they were absolutely beautiful buildings.
Yeah.
And I actually I worked in both towers. I did office furniture for a while. So I worked in both mm-hmm. towers. Even at night, I've worked overnight moving furniture and stuff. So, you know, and my father was a sheet metal worker for 40 years, Local 28. So,
okay.
You know, worked all around there. You know, my mother worked 71 Broadway right down the block for 17 years. So I have, you know, a lot of fond memories of the immediate area and the towers themselves, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I could even see them from my house in Brooklyn, like 15 miles away. They were so big.
Yeah.
So,
I was looking at your King Kong picture.
Yeah.
And the towers are in it. The Kong looks like he's, like, I don't know.
Well, they're supposed to be far in the distance. That's why they're smaller than him.
Okay.
That's, you know, perspective.
Right, yeah, gotcha. The subway looks awesome. And I looked at the details of the tracks, and anyway, but
yeah.
What possessed you to do that?
I basically cut out of all of junior high school and was a huge graffiti, into graffiti immensely,
yeah.
Wrote graffiti and was a huge fan of graffiti at the height of, you know, graffiti on the subway trains during the early to mid 80s.
Okay.
And I'm also a huge train buff and subway buff due to, you know, being on the subways. I started riding the subways when I was like 11 years old, you know,
okay.
by myself. And they're just an integral part of New York City is, you know, the subway system. And the old Redbird trains were just, you know, like the new trains now, you know, well, computerized and stuff. And, you know, they were nothing compared to the old Redbirds, you know. Those trains were, you know, they were just so cool. You know, they're even just the way they were built, their angleage and everything, the way they looked and everything, and plus the graffiti on them just really made them really cool. But, you know.
Yeah, I've seen some graffiti.
Yeah. And so, so yeah, I spent like pretty much 3 years of my early teenagehood. I used to cut out of school. I was a bad truant. And I used to have the free bus and train pass, so I'd, you know, just go ride the trains, and, you know, I'd go all over the city.
Right.
And you know, I was a huge, I'm still, I'm, you know, huge train buff, and all trains, you know, I dig all kinds of trains, freight trains, and, you know.
There's this really cool game you should play. It's called Sid Meier's Railroads.
Yeah.
I have it. It's fucking awesome.
You should look into BVE. They have actually the New York City, you can drive New York City subways. It's a realistic simulator. Simulation.
Okay. I've tried a couple.
I'll send you links. And you got XP.
Right.